They revealed themselves as they jumped, four at a time, through the door. Almost none of them knew how to establish a direct line to the target, and when they reached the far wall, few of the new ones had any idea how to catch on or even control their rebounds. The last boy out was a small kid, obviously underage. There was no way he was going to reach the ceiling handhold. "You can use a side handhold if you want," Ender said.
"Go suck on it," said the boy.
He took a flying leap, touched the ceiling handhold with a fingertip, and hurtled through the door with no control at all, spinning in three directions at once. Ender tried to decide whether to like the little kid for refusing to take a concession or to be annoyed at his insubordinate attitude. They finally got themselves together along the wall. Ender noticed that without exception they had lined up with their heads still in the direction that had been up in the corridor. So Ender deliberately took hold of what they were treating as a floor and dangled from it upside down. "Why are you upside down, soldier?" he demanded. Some of them started to turn the other way. "Ten shut!" They held still. "I said, why are you upside down?" No one answered. They didn't know what he expected. "I said, why does every one of you have his feet in the air and his head toward the ground?" Finally, one of them spoke. "Sir, this is the direction we were in coming out of the door." "Well, what difference is that supposed to make? What difference does it make what the gravity was back in the corridor? Are we going to fight in the corridor? Is there any gravity here?" "No, sir. No, sir." "From now on, you forget about gravity before you go through that door. The old gravity is gone, erased. Understand me? Whatever your gravity is, when you get to the door, remember, the enemy's gate is down. Your feet are toward the enemy gate. Up is toward your own gate. North is that way. South is that way. East is that way. West is..." "What way?" they pointed. "That's what I expected. The only process you've mastered is the process of elimination, and the only reason you've mastered that is because you can do it in the toilet. What was that circus I saw out here? Did you call that forming up? Did you call that flying? Now, everybody, launch and form up on the ceiling. Right now. Move." As Ender expected, a good number of them instinctively launched, not toward the wall with the door in it, but toward the wall that Ender had called north, the direction that had been up when they were in the corridor. Of course, they quickly realized their mistake, but too late. They had to wait to change things until they had rebounded off the north wall. In the meantime, Ender was mentally grouping them into slow learners and fast learners. The littlest kid, the one who had been last out of the door, was the first to arrive at the correct wall, and he caught himself adroitly. They had been right to advance him. He'd do well. He was also cocky and rebellious, and probably resented the fact that he had been one of the ones Ender had sent naked through the corridors. "You," said Ender, pointing at the small one. "Which way is down?" "Toward the enemy door." The answer was quick. It was also surly, as if to say, "Okay, okay, now get on with the important stuff. Name, kid?" "This soldier's name is Bean, sir." "Get that for size or for brains?" The other boys laughed a little. "Well, Bean, you're right onto things. Now listen to me, because this matters. Nobody's going to get through that door without a good chance of getting hit. In the old days, you had 10-20 seconds before you even had to move. Now, if you aren't already streaming out of the door when the enemy comes out, you're frozen. Now, what happens when you're frozen?" "Can't move," one of the boys said. "That's what frozen means," Ender said. "But what happens to you?" It was Bean, not intimidated at all, who answered intelligently. "You keep going in the direction you started in. At the speed you were going when you were flashed."
"That's true."
"You five, there on the end, move." Startled, the boys looked at each other. Ender flashed them all. "The next five, move." They moved. Ender flashed them, too, but they kept moving, heading toward the walls. The first five, though, were drifting uselessly near the main group. "Look at these so-called soldiers," Ender said. "Their commander ordered them to move, and now look at them. Not only are they frozen, they're frozen right here, where they can get in the way. While the others, because they moved when they were ordered, are frozen down there, plugging up the enemy's lanes, blocking the enemy's vision. I imagine that about five of you have understood the point of this. And no doubt Bean is one of them, right, Bean?" He didn't answer at first. Ender looked at him until he said, "Right, sir." "Then what is the point?"
When you are ordered to move, move fast, so if you get iced, you'll bounce around instead of getting in the way of your own army's operations. Excellent. At least I have one soldier who can figure things out. Ender could see resentment growing in the way the other soldiers shifted their weight and glanced at each other, the way they avoided looking at Bean. Why am I doing this? What does this have to do with being a good commander, making one boy the target of all the others? Just because they did it to me, why should I do it to him? Ender wanted to undo his taunting of the boy, wanted to tell the others that the little one needed their help and friendship more than anyone else. But of course Ender couldn't do that. Not on the first day. On the first day, even his mistakes had to look like part of a brilliant plan. Ender hooked himself near the wall and pulled one of the boys away from the others. "Keep your body straight," said Ender. He rotated the boy in midair so his feet pointed toward the others. When the boy kept moving his body, Ender flashed him. The others laughed. "How much of his body could you shoot?" Ender asked the boy directly under the frozen soldier's feet. "Mostly all I can hit is his feet." Ender turned to the boy next to him. "What about you?" "I can see his body." "And you?" A boy a little farther down the wall answered, "All of him." "Feet aren't very big. Not much protection." Ender pushed the frozen soldier out of the way. Then he doubled his legs under him as if he were kneeling in midair and flashed his own legs. Immediately, the legs of his suit went rigid, holding them in that position. Ender twisted himself in the air so that he knelt above the other boys. "What do you see?" he asked. "A lot less," they said. Ender thrust his gun between his legs. "I can see fine," he said, and proceeded to flash the boys directly under him. "Stop me," he shouted. "Try and flash me." They finally did, but not until he had flashed more than a third of them. He thumbed his hook and thawed himself and every other frozen soldier. "Now," he said, "which way is the enemy's gate?" "Down." "And what is our attack position?" Some started to answer with words, but Bean answered by flipping himself away from the wall with his legs doubled under him, straight toward the opposite wall, flashing between his legs all the way. For a moment, Ender wanted to shout at him, to punish him. Then he caught himself, rejected the ungenerous impulse. "Why should I be so angry at this little boy?" "Is Bean the only one who knows how?" Ender shouted. Immediately, the entire army pushed off toward the opposite wall, kneeling in the air, firing between their legs, shouting at the top of their lungs. "There may be a time," thought Ender, "when this is exactly the strategy I'll need. 40 screaming boys in an unbalancing attack." When they were all at the other side, Ender called for them to attack him all at once. "Yes," thought Ender, "not bad. They gave me an untrained army with no excellent veterans, but at least it isn't a crop of fools. I can work with this." When they were assembled again, laughing and exhilarated, Ender began the real work. He had them freeze their legs in the kneeling position. "Now, what are your legs good for in combat?" "Nothing," said some boys. "Bean doesn't think so," said Ender. "They're the best way to push off walls." "Right," Ender said. The other boys started to complain that pushing off walls was movement, not combat. "There is no combat without movement," Ender said. They fell silent and hated Bean a little more. "Now, with your legs frozen like this, can you push off walls?" No one dared answer for fear they'd be wrong. "Bean?" asked Ender. "I've never tried it, but maybe if you faced the wall and doubled over at the waist..." "Right, but wrong. Watch me. My back's to the wall, legs are frozen. Since I'm kneeling, my feet are against the wall. Usually, when you push off, you have to push downward. So you string out your body behind you like a string, Bean, right?" Laughter. "But with my legs frozen, I use pretty much the same force, pushing downward from the hips and thighs. Only now, it pushes my shoulders and my feet backward, shoots out my hips, and when I come loose, my body's tight, nothing stringing out behind me. Watch this." Ender forced his hips forward, which shot him away from the wall. In a moment, he readjusted his position and was kneeling, legs downward, rushing toward the opposite wall. He landed on his knees, flipped over on his back, and jackknifed off the wall in another direction. "Shoot me!" he shouted. Then he set himself spinning in the air as he took a course roughly parallel to the boys along the far wall. Because he was spinning, they couldn't get a continuous beam on him. He thawed his suit, and hooked himself back to them.